today. You know, not only, and we are, and rightly so, and we're celebrating the fact that Jesus was raised from the dead, but even more than that, I want to talk to you this morning for a few minutes about the power of Jesus' resurrection, His resurrection power for you and I. Because as wonderful and as great as it is, the greatest event in the history of mankind, which is the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, it was also, by the way, the greatest exertion of the power of God that we know of in all of creation, in all of time, in eternity so far. It was the greatest exertion of God's power. For in the creation, when God created the heavens and the earth, there was no opposition. But when Jesus was raised from the dead, all of hell's forces, Lucifer and all the minions of darkness, were doing their very utmost, straining with every ounce of power and strength that they had to hold Jesus in death, but they could not. Hallelujah. So listen, those few little devils that's bothering you, guess what? Woo, not a problem. Not a problem. So I want to talk about moving, because of the power of Jesus' resurrection, moving from dead ends to new beginnings. You ever been at a dead end in your life? Life seems to be over. That relationship seems to be, that's over, it's had it. There's nothing left. But you're drinking from the dregs of rejection and bitterness and discouragement and disappointments. Disappointed dreams. Maybe you're disappointed in yourself, your family member. Maybe it's a family member that's away from God, that's bound up. You've been praying and praying and praying, and all it looks like is that there's death that is present. You know, death can take on many faces, not just physical. The hopes and the plans that you had, they're buried in a tomb. The desires that you had for your family, for that relationship, they're buried in the tomb. So what are you going to do when you've come to a dead end, when you're buried in a tomb and it looks like it's all over? You know what? The only thing that's going to save that, the only thing that's going to resurrect that, is the power of Jesus' resurrection. Now I want to read you a story here in John 11. It's a very typical story, a story that has been repeated who knows how many times throughout history. But this one is recorded here. We're going to begin reading in verse 1. It says, "Now a man named Lazarus was sick." That sounds pretty ordinary. That sounds pretty mundane, doesn't it? "He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. This Mary, was whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. So the sister sent word to Jesus, 'Lord, the one you love is sick.'" Now here's the thing. It's obvious he didn't just have a cold. He didn't just have some minor ailment here, because they saw that it was serious enough. We've got to get word to Jesus. Amen? Amen? Yeah. We've got to get word to the Lord, because this is a serious situation. And you know, just like your situation, and I'm sure that whatever dead end you've come to, I'll bet you've prayed about it. Have you prayed about it? Have you prayed and prayed about it? Have you agonized over it? Maybe even stayed up, kept you up at night. All of that. What, you were at a dead end. These two sisters, a beloved brother, they sent to Jesus and sent word. Now look at verse 4. "When he heard this, Jesus said, 'This sickness will not end in death.'" Now if you know the story of Lazarus, right about now you got a problem. Because we're going to read in a few minutes where he was in the tomb. That goes to show you what? First of all, that the way you see something and the way God sees something may be two different ways. We see a dead end. We see a tomb. We see a hopeless situation. We see something there that there we don't have the answer. We don't have the wisdom. Man's wisdom has failed us. But you know what? All of a sudden, we realize, hey, if I can get word to Jesus. If I can get word to Jesus. So Jesus immediately says, "This sickness will not end in death." No, it is for God's glory. Now I want to tell you something. Whatever has come against you in life, whatever has hit you and knocked you down, whatever has brought seeming death to your situation, your circumstance. Listen, I want you to know this. First, two things. One, that God's not the author of it. God didn't bring that situation into your life. He didn't bring destruction to that relationship. He didn't bring all that mess and failure into your life. That was not God's plan. But here's the thing. Out of that, know what God said. He said, but it will end in God's glory in your life. Because God is able to take whatever comes into our life and turn it around and work it for our good. That's what resurrection's all about. Can you imagine the disciples and those who loved him when they saw Jesus' dead body, lifeless body taken off of that cross? It was bloody. It was pierced. It was lifeless. Can you imagine the hopelessness that flooded over them? Can you imagine the despair that, that gripped their heart? They saw him laid in a tomb. They saw the finality of that stone rolled across the mouth of that tomb, and that was it. If you've ever had to bury someone that you love dearly, you know what I mean. It grips you, the finality of it. And Jesus said here, he said, this will not end in death, it's for God's glory, that so that God's Son may be glorified through it. Jesus loved Martha and her sister Lazarus. Now I want you to notice this. Yet when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days. Wow. Then he said to his disciples, let us go back to Judea. But Rabbi, they said, a short while ago the Jews tried to stone you. You're going back there? Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours of daylight? A man who walks by day will not stumble, for he sees by this world's light. It is when he walks by night that he stumbles, for he has no light. Now, what was Jesus? He wanted to teach them a lesson here. The lesson was this. He said, when you walk in the perfect will of God, there will be no stumbling. You will not stumble. You will not stumble when life's problems come against you. You will not stumble when even in the face of death. You will not stumble in your walk with God. There will be light that will shine upon your path. But when you react to the circumstance, when you react to your emotions, when you want to, you know, just out of your emotions, you want to try to do something, you know what? You're going to find yourself walking in darkness. You're going to find yourself walking in discouragement and despair. You're going to find yourself walking in the bitterness of unforgiveness. You're going to find yourself walking in the darkness of blaming God for your circumstance and what's going on. But he said, if you'll understand this, that no matter the dead end you're facing, no matter the grave that you may be looking at, no matter the death that's staring you in the face, if you will remember this, that God is more than enough, that his resurrection power, his glory is more than enough for your situation, that he cares about you. And that God's timing for your life will be just what it needs to be. You know, I don't know if you're like me, but you are. We've all been conditioned, at least if you're from this nation. You've lived here very long. You've been conditioned here in America to be in a hurry. We're conditioned, aren't we? Oh, man, you know. If you don't get your order in 5 minutes, it's on us. Isn't that true? Man, you ever been at the, you'd be at the red light. I got 1 foot on the brake and 1 on the gas. As soon as that thing hits green, somebody's blowing a horn at me. I mean, we're conditioned, aren't we? We can't wait. We don't want to wait for anything. The condition of our economy tells us that, doesn't it? How did we get where we are in this massive debt? It wasn't because we were patient to save. It's because we were quick to have it now. But that's another story. But in our lives sometimes, we think, you know, it's like Jesus tarried 2 days. Wait a minute, God. You know, I prayed for this thing. I'm believing for you this thing. I got your word right here. And yet it seems like Jesus has tarried. It seems like those 2 days. What? God's got a timing for you. Don't give up. Don't be discouraged. Don't let go of your faith in God. God has a timing for you, and he's going to bring it forth. In the right time. And if you will walk in faith, if you will walk in confidence, if you will not start blaming God and start getting all bitter and discouraged, you will be able to walk in the light through the midst of your problem. He said, after he said this, he said, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep. Notice what Jesus, he said, he hadn't said death yet. He said, he has fallen asleep, but I'm going there to wake him up. His disciples replied, Lord, if he sleeps, he'll get better. We chuckle, but we're about as dense as they are sometimes, aren't we? Spiritual things. And I use the word we. He said, Jesus told him plainly, Jesus had been speaking of his death, but his disciples thought he meant natural sleep. So then he told them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And for your sake, I'm glad I was not there so that you may believe, but let's go to him. Now I want you to skip down to verse 17 there. On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. You ever felt that way? God, Jesus, I needed you 4 days ago. I needed you last week. I needed you last month. I needed you to come through. He said, he's already been dead 4 days. Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. Now, I want to stop here just a minute, because, you know, in that other story about Martha and Mary, we're always getting on Martha. So I want to give Martha her due here. Remember in the other story where Jesus was teaching and Martha was trying to cook, and we're always talking about, you're just a Martha. Anybody ever called you? Well, I got news for you soon. Martha was the one that went to meet Jesus this time. So before you get on her, I just give her a due here. So if you tend to be like Martha, don't worry about it. Amen. And Martha went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. Now I want you to listen to this. Verse 21, Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if only you had been here. You ever had an if only in your life? Maybe you're living with an if only now. If only, Lord, if only my marriage had worked. If only you'd been here. If only you'd blessed this. If only you'd moved in this situation. If only you'd set this person free. If only you worked in this relationship. We all face the times where we're just like Martha. And we come to the Lord and we think, you know, and the reason we say if only is because we think it's too late. Here's Martha. It's too late. I mean, he's dead 4 days. You know, they didn't embalm him in those days. Not the way we do. I mean, it was quick. They had to get him buried quick. Because in that climate, especially, they would start to smell. The flesh would start to smell and break down quickly. So here it is with her. She's saying, Lord, if only. And maybe in your heart this morning, maybe there's an if only in a situation. Maybe in times past, maybe a present situation where you've got an if only. And listen, what you need to realize this morning is not if only. You've got to understand this, that God in his timing is still able to work in your circumstance. He's still able to resurrect whatever it is that you have been praying about. Amen. Whatever you've been believing God for, he is able to meet that need. Amen. You know, for some people, when they get to this point where Martha was, it seems like life is over. It's meaningless. It seems like wherever they look, it's just death, death, death. They're depressed. They're discouraged. They're disillusioned with life. Life has been tough. Life has been hard. That's the vision. That's the image they got in their life. And they're just like Martha. And they're saying, Lord, if only you'd move. If only you'd do this. If only you'd do that. Notice what he says here. She says, but I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask. Do you know that? Do you know this morning, even if you've had the if only syndrome, so to speak, if you've had that attitude of if only, Lord, if only, do you still believe even now that God is able to work in your circumstance? Can he work in your life? Can he work in that relationship? Can he work in that loved one? Can he, out of seemingly death and finality, can you believe that the resurrection power of Jesus that we celebrate today can come into your life, can come into your circumstance? That's where the miracle is. You know, for man, death is the ultimate defeat. It is. It's the ultimate defeat. If you've ever been to a funeral, especially if somebody close to you, a loved one, it seems like that's the ultimate. What can you do? You're helpless. You're hopeless. If you're a mom and a dad and it was a child, you would have gladly given your life for them. That quick, no problem, no question asked. But you can't. So it seems like it's the absolute insurmountable problem and obstacle of life is death. And you know, even death in other forms sometimes seems so far out of our reach. And it seems to, you know, life hits you and it seems to take the air out of you. And it seems to take the strength out of you. It's at that time we've got to remember that Jesus is the resurrection. He is the one. And remember this, that Jesus faced death for every man. Listen, he faced death for every man. And his resurrection, get this, is every man's resurrection. His resurrection is every man's resurrection. In Ephesians 2:6, there you can read, there it says that just as God raised up Jesus from the dead, so also he raised us up with him. Jesus' resurrection is your resurrection. He faced and defeated death for you so that in your life you could know victory over death. Are you listening? Not just the resurrection of the physical body. Oh, yes. But even now, he wants to resurrect things in your life that seemingly death has swallowed up. You know, the Apostle Paul, speaking in Philippians 3, you probably know the scripture there in Philippians 3:10. He says, he was saying this. He told him, he said, I want to know him. Speaking of Jesus, I want to know him and the power of his resurrection. Notice he said, he didn't say, I want to know him and the doctrine of his resurrection. He didn't say, I want to know him in the theory of his resurrection. He didn't say, I want to know him and the story of his resurrection. All that's good. But listen, he said, I want to know the power of his resurrection. That's what we're talking about this morning. The power of his resurrection in your circumstance and in your life. Revelations 1, I want to read over there. Hold your place there in John 11, though, because we're going to come back. We're not near through with that yet. How many of you give me a few more minutes here? It is Easter. Hallelujah. Revelations 1, we're familiar with this. It says, you know, the Apostle John, Jesus appeared to him. It says, when I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. Then he placed his right hand on me and said, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I was dead, and behold, I am alive forever and ever, and I hold the keys of death and hell. Listen, I want you to know that in your life, who is in control? Who is in control? Is it Jesus in the power of his resurrection? Or are you trying to man the oars of your own boat, the boat of your life? Are you rowing just as hard as you can? Are you like the disciples? Remember the time when Jesus sent his disciples on ahead? He said, cross over to the other side, and they're out there, and they start rowing and rowing, and the wind and the waves are blowing against them, and you know, they're rowing as hard as they can. I mean, they're out there breaking sweat. They're doing all they can do, but they're making no progress. And Jesus comes walking alongside their boat, And as soon as he gets in the boat, it says, phew, they were on the other side. Holy Ghost outboard. That's what it says. It says immediately. I mean, boy, I bet their robes were flying in the wind. See, here's the thing. When resurrection power works in our life, there's something greater. There's something mightier. There's something that no circumstance, no problem can overwhelm you, because what? The resurrection power of Jesus that's at work in us. The Bible says in Romans 8:11 that the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is alive in us. Is it? I said, is he? Is he? Then what? We have resurrection power at work in us. And we should expect, when life comes against us, we should expect that resurrection power, no matter what it is, that power will put me over. That power will bring me out. It will resurrect that relationship. It will deliver that son or daughter. It will bring forth life where there was death before, and nothing will be impossible to us. In verse 22, she said, "But I know that even now God will give whatever you ask." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Now, Martha, here's Martha. Bless Martha's heart. We love Martha. But here she is. She's reverting back to Martha again here. Martha answered and said, "I know he will rise again in the resurrection in the last day." Well, you know, that is a true statement. But you know, when you need resurrection now, the last day seems a long way off. Now, I don't know. It could be tomorrow, but we don't know that, do we? But it seems a long way off. See, she got very religious about it. And you know, sometimes when life comes at us, and again, I'm not criticizing anybody. Lord knows. But here's the thing. A lot of times life hits us. Life comes hard at us. And you know what? Rather than running to the resurrection power of Jesus, we want to get all religious. Well, I know one day Jesus will make it all better. And the sweet by and by, he'll wipe away every tear. And all those sayings are true. That's a true statement. But you know what? I need some resurrection power now. I need something that'll wipe away some tears now. I need something that's going to restore and set free some people now that I love. Thank God for that day. But today is the day I'm living in. Now notice Jesus, he corrected her a little bit here. Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection." See, today, when we celebrate everywhere, people everywhere are celebrating Easter Sunday, the resurrection of Jesus. But you know, if we're not careful, we only see the event. See, this is what the problem was with Martha. She understand the event of resurrection. One day, at the last day, there's going to be this great event called resurrection, and he's going to rise then. Are you listening to me? An event. Jesus said, "Let me help you out here. The resurrection is no longer an event. It is a person, and I'm he." He said, "I am." He didn't say that day was. He didn't say some event. He said, "I am the resurrection." So if you've got him, hallelujah, then he is the resurrection in your life. He is a resurrection for that son and daughter, for that circumstance, for whatever you're facing, whatever dead end in life you're facing. He says, don't wait for some event to happen. I am the resurrection in your life. He said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies." Boy, that's not an event. That's a person. He said, "You believe in me, and even though it looks like that death has come to that relationship, it will live in me." "And he and whoever lives and believes in me will never die." Do you believe this? "Yes, Lord," she told him. "I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God." Wow. As far as I know, Peter was the only other one that we have this recorded confession of. Isn't that right? And when Peter said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God," what did Jesus say to him? He said, "Flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you, Peter, but my Father." Well, who revealed it to Martha? Same Papa. Are you listening? She got a hold of it. Here, this busy Martha. Busy in the kitchen. But I'm going to tell you what. She must have been multitasking too, cooking and listening. Isn't that right? She got a hold of it. She got a hold of it. He said, "I'm the resurrection and life." She said, "Yes, Lord." And she made that confession. After this, after she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary and said, "The teacher is here and is asking for you." When Mary heard this, she got up quickly, went to him. Now, Jesus had not yet entered the village, but was still at a place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who had been with Mary in the house comforting her noticed how quickly she got up and went out, they followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb to mourn. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, "Lord, if you'd only been here, my brother would not have died." She had the if only two, didn't she? She had the if only two. You know, you ever felt like God was too late in a circumstance in your life? Maybe you're here this morning, you feel like he's too late. He's way overdue. You know, God, you know, we got overnight mail. We got IM, instant messaging. And I've been praying about this a long time and you hadn't got here yet. And you feel like and some people get discouraged. Hello? None of you have ever been discouraged, I know. But some of us have. We've had to deal with it. We've had to battle it. Discouragement and disillusionment. Because we felt, again, just like Mary here, we felt like the if only. I mean, God, you know, you could do this. You could have done this yesterday. But remember what Jesus said? He said, the purpose is not just an event, but it's to discover a person. It's to discover to walk in the perfect will of God, to walk in the light as he is in the light. Walking in faith, putting our trust and our wholehearted confidence in God in the midst of everything. The wind blowing your hair, the rain stinging your skin. Jesus said, go to the other side. Bless God, we're going to the other side. Doesn't matter, we buried Lazarus 4 days ago. Jesus said he's going to live. Bless God, he's going to live. The devil comes at you and says, it's never going to happen. That's never going to happen. They're never going to serve God. You're never going to get the answer to that. You're never going to be able to renew that marriage. It's never going to happen. It's never going to happen. Jesus said, if you can believe, I am the resurrection. I am the resurrection. He said, where have you laid him? Come and see. Jesus wept. Shortest verse in the Bible. Jesus wept. Two words. What did that show us? That Jesus, as the Bible said, is easily touched by the feeling of our infirmities. His humanity. He loved him. He loved them. Then the Jews said, oh, I loved him. And here they go with their if only. But some of them said, could not he have opened the eyes of the blind and kept this man from dying? Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance, and he said, take away the stone. Now, I want to talk about this just for a minute. He came to the tomb. Now, some of you in this room, you've got a tomb in your life. It may be a relationship. It may be a failed business. It may be a son or a daughter that's away from God. Whatever it is, somewhere you've got a tomb where something is buried in your life. It's it. I've prayed about it. I've fasted. I've done everything. I've agonized over it. It's dead. It's over. There's nothing I can do about it. There it is. And you know what? We even roll a stone over it. And you know, sometimes that stone looks like anger, bitterness, disillusionment, skepticism. What is that? It's a stone that's been rolled in front of what's been buried because it's too painful. We're trying to get it out of sight. We're trying to roll that stone over there. Lord, I don't want to see it. I sure don't want to smell it. Because every time I see it and I smell it, I think of the death. I think of the disappointment. I think of the discouragement. And Jesus, when he came as the resurrection before that tomb, he told them, he said, first thing you got to do is roll away the stone. The first thing this morning, if you want God to come into that area of your life and he be the resurrection, is you're going to have to roll away the stone. Amen. It may be that you're angry about life, about maybe angry at God, but angry at somebody or about God, life. God, life hadn't been treated you right. Well, join the club. Everything didn't go just like I thought it ought to. Well, join the club. But I'm bitter. I'm bitter. You know, all of these things, and understand this, that the Bible says that death is an enemy to man. It's an enemy to God, and it's an enemy to man, and it's the last enemy to be put down. Okay? Remember we said that death can take many faces. Many faces. And so as we face death, we have to understand this, that this death is not for our benefit, but if we will allow Jesus into that situation, it can be turned around for the glory of God. But he said this before he ever spoke to Lazarus. He said this, roll away the stone. What's the stone that's keeping Jesus from resurrecting something in your life? Is it doubt? Is it unbelief? Is it despair? Maybe it's hopelessness. I mean, we could probably make a list as from here to Miami. All kinds of stones that are covering up. And really, you know what they're doing? They're covering up that loss. I feel the loss. I feel the rejection. I feel the pain. I feel the hurt. God, don't make me roll away the stone. Notice what it says here. But Lord, said Martha, the sister of the dead man, by this time there's a bad odor. For he has been there 4 days. You know, sometimes, you know, that's what that anger is. It's that stone, and we don't want the bad odor. We don't want anybody to see how we're really hurting. We don't want to open up, even to God sometimes. But he says, you're going to have to roll away the stone. And notice what it says here. Then Jesus looked up and he said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew you always hear me. And I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me. And when he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. Now, notice, Jesus didn't speak till the stone was rolled away. And God, Jesus wants to speak. He wants to be the resurrection in your life, in your circumstance today. But listen, until you roll away the stone, you roll away the stone. You know, for some people, you know, it may be worry. It may be anxiety. It can be all kind of fears, all kind of things. We got to roll it away and give that, say, God, it's yours. I'm rolling away the tomb. And I'm going to expose the death that's there. It stinks. It smells. I'd much rather look at the whitewashed tombstone that I'd put there. It's a lot prettier sight than when I roll away that stone. But I'm going to roll it away today. Because the resurrection is not an event. You're the resurrection. You're the resurrection. It says here, the dead man came out in his hands and his feet, wrapped with strips of linen and cloth around his face. And Jesus said, take off the grave clothes and let him go. Take off the grave clothes and let him go. This morning, in just a few minutes, we're going to partake of communion, the Lord's table, the covenant meal. But before we do that, I want you to look at your own life and your own circumstance. Is there an area where, as it were, your Lazarus has died? Something precious and beloved has died. It may, like I say, it may be a relationship. It may be a marriage. It may be a son or a daughter. It may be a lost dream or a hope. Maybe your business went under and all this economic stuff, everything went under. And I mean, man, it's just things have seemed to just crumble down around you. You had no answers. You had no way. You've prayed. You've done what you know to do. And it looks like Jesus has tarried. And you're at a place where you've got the if onlys. If only God had moved. If only something different had taken place. If only I'd done this. If only, you know, all the regrets want to well back up. Listen, this morning, roll away the stone. Just roll away. Listen, you don't have to make it live. That's God's part. Jesus didn't say, all right, command Lazarus to come forth. No, he didn't do that. He said, you roll away the stone and I'll do the commanding. And so this morning, if that's you, you've got something in your life. You say, I'm angry. I'm bitter. I'm disillusioned. I feel hopeless. I'm disappointed. I'm discouraged. Life has treated me hard. I'm just tired. There's no more fight in me. I've just rolled the stone over, and I'm just trying to make it through the best way I can, day by day. If that's you, roll away the stone this morning. Would you bow your heads just for a moment? If that's you, and you say, I'm just going to roll away the stone. I'm going to roll it away. I'm going to expose the death, the smell, all of the mess that's there. I'm going to let it be exposed to the light. I'm going to let it be exposed to the words and the command of Jesus. And I believe this, that when Jesus speaks, that life is going to come forth. Jesus said, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. And when the Spirit of the living God will speak to you again, he will speak into your tomb. He will speak into that death. He will speak into that circumstance. And he will say, come forth. And life will come forth. Life will swallow up death. Life will come forth. There will be joy again. There will be peace again. There will be hope again. Roll it away right now, whatever it is. And hear Jesus speak into your life, into that circumstance. Hear Jesus speak words of life. Hear Jesus speak words of life. I am the resurrection. I am the resurrection for your life. I am the resurrection for your marriage. I am the resurrection for that relationship, for that son and daughter. I am the resurrection for your business. I am the resurrection for the dreams and the plans I've given you. I am the resurrection. Whatever it is, hear Him speak to your heart. I am the resurrection. I am the resurrection and the life. If you're here this morning, you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life. You need the resurrection power of Jesus to come in you. Listen to what the Word says concerning the life of God. He said, when you were slaves to sin, you were free from the control of righteousness. What benefit did you reap at that time from the things you are now ashamed of? Those things result in death. But now you have been set free from sin and become slaves to God. And the benefit you reap leads to holiness and result in eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. This morning, maybe you've been going your own way, living your own life, doing your own thing, as we say. And you realize that all it's brought to you is pain and anguish and death and hurt. And Jesus' word to you this morning is, I am your resurrection. I am your life. Bible says, whoever will call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, whoever will put their faith in Him as the resurrected Son of God, the Bible says this, you will be saved, delivered, made whole, brought back alive in Christ Jesus. If you're here this morning, you say, Pastor, that's me. I need Jesus in my life. I need the resurrection power of Jesus to come in, to save me and to forgive me and to cleanse me from all my sins. I need prayer. I want prayer. If that's you, I want you to raise your hand anywhere in the building. That's you. Okay. Here's what I want you to do. If you raise your hand, I want you to come and meet me down here at the altar. Because we're going to pray with you. I'm talking about is for salvation now. For salvation. For salvation. If you've never been saved or you're not sure about your salvation, come on down. We're going to settle it today. Settle it today. You know, we sang the song earlier. If not for grace, where would I be? Hope. They can have my picture by that verse. I want to tell you, it doesn't matter where you come from. I guarantee you, as far as people goes, from when I was saved, you're light years ahead of where I was. You wouldn't want to have been within 100 yards of me. But God's grace is so amazing. And I say that not because I'm glorying in that, but I want you to understand, it doesn't matter where you're coming from or what you've done. God loves you. He cares about you. And He wants you to leave this place today with it settled. I know I belong to Jesus. I know it's settled once and for all. Now, I want to pray with you here, but then what we're going to do is we've got some people who are going to take just a few minutes with you in our prayer room. It's right back here. Nothing funny is going to happen. Nothing weird is going to happen, okay? They're just going to share a little bit more than what I can share with you here right now, so that you know that you know that you know I have a firm foundation for my salvation. My faith is in God and in the Word of God. So I'm going to say a prayer here, but then I'm going to ask you, they won't take long, about 10 minutes while we're continuing something here. They're going to take you to the prayer room just back there. And also, we've got some information to give you. I want to encourage you. God loves you. No matter what, listen, don't look at what's going on in your life and judge whether or not God loves you. All hell was breaking loose for Mary and Martha, but Jesus loved them. He said, I am the resurrection. And no matter what's going on through granddaughter Joanna or in your lives, it doesn't matter. You know what? What matters is this. It's who we belong to. The resurrection and the life. Amen. Can you just join hands with one another? Join hands across here. I want to pray. Father, right now, I pray over these, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that you are faithful. You said whoever calls on the name of the Lord, they will be saved. Thank you, Lord. They may feel like a hopeless case, but thank God for your unfailing grace. God, I add my faith to theirs. Thank you, O God, that when they leave that prayer room today, they're going to know that they know that they know they belong to you. The future is secure, and you are their resurrection. In Jesus' name, amen. If you would just follow this gentleman right here to my left, Brother Dwayne, they're going to take you back just for a few minutes. Can you give God a hand? Thank God for these. I'm going to ask the men to come and prepare for the Lord's table of communion. And as we prepare for the Lord's table, I want you to think about this simple little story that we shared today. A story that we all can relate to. A hopeless situation. A situation where it seems like death is winning. Life is hard. The circumstance of life are weighing down on me. But I want to tell you what, through this simple act of faith that we're about to do together, the Lord's table, partaking of the bread and the cup that represents the broken body and the shed blood of Jesus. You know what? This table, it declares not only his death, but it also declares his resurrection. He was resurrected for you and I. And we have a covenant. An unfailing covenant. The Bible says he will never leave you nor forsake you. So this morning, even if you're visiting at Grace, if you're a believer, we welcome you and invite you to partake in the covenant meal with us this morning. In just a moment, the men are going to pass out the elements. We ask that everyone would hold the bread and the cup until we've prayed over each one, and then we'll partake together of the Lord's table and communion. While the men are passing out the elements, you're going to be playing in the background, but I want you to be thinking about the stone that you may need to roll away in your life. Maybe somebody you need to forgive. Maybe bitterness is coming there. Maybe you're angry at God. Something you need. This is a time while we're thinking. You meditate on that. If not, then you just worship God and thank God for all that he's done in your life. And all that he wishes to do. Gentlemen, brothers, would you please serve the people? Our head. We rejoice. rejoice in you. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness and your mercy, O God. Lord, no more if-onlys. No more if-onlys in our life. We're looking to you as the resurrection. You are the resurrection. Lord, we roll away the stone. We roll away that which we've used to cover the pain. We roll it away. We give it to you. Every hurt, every disillusionment, every discouragement, all the pain, we give it to you. We give it to you, oh God. Thank you, Lord, for the broken body, shed blood, the resurrection of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that even when we were dead in our sins and uncircumcision, our sinful nature, you, O God, you made us alive with Christ. You forgave all our sins. You canceled out the written laws that were against us. Hallelujah. You took it away, nailing it to the cross. We thank you, Lord. Apostle Paul wrote these words. He said, "Is not the cup of thanksgiving for which we give thanks a participation in the blood of Christ? And is not the bread that we break a participation in the body of Christ? Because there is one loaf, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one loaf." In just a moment, as we pray over these elements, I want you to remember, we are partaking of the body and the blood of Jesus. All that it provided, all that it has provided for us, it is ours now. He is our resurrection. The Apostle Paul said that he received of the Lord on the night he was betrayed these words. Jesus said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Father, thank you for the broken body of Jesus Christ. It was broken for us. And Lord, we are participators in the body of Christ in this covenant meal. All that he is and all that he provided in his broken body, healing, it is ours now. Resurrection power. In Jesus' name. Let's eat together. Then he took the cup. He said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." And is not the cup of thanksgiving for which we give thanks a participation in the blood of Christ? Father, thank you for the precious blood, the blood that was shed on Calvary, O God. Father, this Resurrection Sunday, Lord, we remember the power, the resurrection power of Jesus. And Lord, that blood that has wiped away every sin, that has made us brand new, you've raised us up. We're seated in heavenly places. We belong to you, and you belong to us. Thank you, Lord, for the blood. In Jesus' name, let's drink together. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Can we stand to our feet? If you could, please lift your hands just a moment. You lift your hands and thank God for resurrection. He is the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me shall never die, and he that believes in me and dies shall live. That is God's promise. But it's not only a future event that is true, but it's a present reality. A present reality for our lives right now. He is the resurrection in your life. No matter what you face, whether it be today, tomorrow, next week, next month, next year, He is your resurrection. Father, thank you today for Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that Jesus is alive, that he is seated at the right hand of majesty on high, that we belong to him. Father, we rejoice in that. So great a salvation is ours today. And Lord, we do look for that day when you do return and we are raised up. But Father, we also thank you that right now in our life, the Spirit of Christ Jesus is dwelling in us. His resurrection power at work in our lives. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. We rejoice. We rejoice. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name. Now, Father, I bless the people as they go today, with family and friends, wherever they go. Lord, as they celebrate today, Father, may there ever be the consciousness of the resurrection of Jesus in our lives. Father, for those who rolled away the stone today, who allowed you to speak into that area of their life and their circumstance, I thank you, Lord, they have experienced resurrection. 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 Miracles in their life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, have a great day in God. A great Resurrection Sunday.